Hey there, you guys. Welcome to another edition of Power Pearls Podcast. My name is Kara Gott Warner, host of the podcast, designer, illustrator, editor, and your ultimate cheerleader on your yarn crafting path. You can catch me every Friday on the Power Pearls Facebook page for the live edition of Power Pearls Podcast. I'm going to be putting on my editor's hat to talk about the top 10 mistakes that new designers make and how you can avoid them. So in my experience as editor of Creative Knitting Magazine, there are several common issues that I have often encountered. And so I just want to show, I want to kind of pay that forward with to you so that you can avoid them. And, you'll see that they're easy. They're simple, but they're easy to implement, but often very easy to forget. And so by paying this forward to you and sharing this information with you, it'll really help get your proposals noticed. If this is something that you'd like to start, dabbling in. And this is not just for those of you that are interested in working with magazines. This has to do with working with yarn companies and other professionals in the industry. So, for example, maybe you're working with an indie designer who's seeking designs from others to put into an online publication. Or there's so many different things that are happening right now because now we have all these little micro businesses. So the more you can use these steps, they apply across the board. So it's not just for magazines. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go through these. And make sure that you guys stick around until the end because I will be sharing how you can get your hands on a little checklist. So it's a little freebie that contains everything I talk about in this episode. So let's go ahead and dive in. Are you guys ready? And so before we do that, I just want to ask those of you that are watching live, and even those of you that are listening to the audio, you can always come back and leave your comments. Those of you that are listening and watching, are you dabbling in the designer path? Or are you getting your feet wet? Like, what's your level of design experience? Like, are you interested in this path, or are you just focused on the hobby side? So that's my question for you guys now. I always like to pose a question, so I'd love to know where you are with that. Because if you're watching or listening, I think that means that maybe you do have some interest, or at least you want to know how others are doing it. So I'd love it if you guys would chime in the comments now. And I'm going to wait for you guys to do that and say hello to a few new people that have come in to the room. So Cheryl has just come in. Cheryl says, I usually work. This is awesome. Well, good. I'm glad that you're here, Cheryl. And then Elisa is here. Hello, hello. Happy Friday. Yeah. And so Elisa just chimed in the first comment here. Just a hobby knitter for the moment. Everything interests me. That's very, very cool. So a few others came in here. We have Lynn. Hello, Lynn. I'm focused on the hobby side, but I'm interested in designing for myself. And that's the thing that I know a lot of you are interested in. And a lot of these things you can apply, of course. I would say mostly if you are interested in working with others, but you never know where that's going to lead you, right? So if you're interested in designing for yourself and you really get excited about it and you feel very empowered, you could totally, use this. You have the tools to take it to that next level. So, all right. So you guys, while you're still thinking about those questions, feel free to jump in and add those in, and I'll just kind of come back and answer some of those at a later point in this episode. Cheryl says, hobby mostly, but sometimes change things up a bit. Well, good. So that means that you guys are, you're very open-minded and you're interested. You're interested in exploring new avenues. So Sue says, knitting is my hobby and I love it. Until the workshop and challenge, I couldn't imagine designing and looking at what's out there. I can't imagine what I could contribute. I think that we all, and you'll, you'll learn this when I go through these steps, because the first, especially the number one, the first mistake or the first point that's pretty important and often overlooked. I think that there is a place for everyone to contribute to. Yes, everything's been done, but in a generic way, like, what is your voice? What is it that you bring to the table? What makes you unique? And that's what you can infuse into your design work. So let's see. We have Jenny. Jenny says, I like knitting for hobby, but I would like to design toddler sweaters for my girls. Yes. And that was something that you mentioned at one point as well. That's great. A great way to start that process on pint size sweaters, because, you know, when you're knitting, when you're designing, you're learning to design, or you want to even work out a bigger design, working them out on a small scale is much easier, because on a larger size sweater, there's large portions of that design that's knitted in just, you know, stockinette or whatever stitch you're working. So there's not much change happening. So with a toddler sweater, let's say, you have shaping happening at the armholes and at the neckline. And, you know, so those are things that you can get to pretty quickly when you're designing small. So Linda says, interested in knowing how designs are created. Always just hobby yarn crafts and lots of intuitive creations. Yes. And I know, Linda, we have kind of had a lot of brainstorming in that area, and you just get the creative juices when they open up. You go, it's crazy. It's like an explosion, and I can totally understand, because I'm the same exact way. And so it's pretty cool stuff. And I think that's what it's all about, to just really, like you said, the intuitive side, which is really how I love to design, because that's when those unexpected surprises occur on the needle, right? And then Evelyn says, yes, I'm definitely interested in delving into designing patterns and getting them published. I have been knitting since childhood, and I almost always revise the patterns that I knit. Now it's time for me to take the plunge and design my own patterns. Yes, absolutely. And just so you guys know, and I've talked about this before, but I do have a coaching, one-on-one coaching program for anyone that's serious about, you know, really diving in, and you're just like, hey, where do I even start? And so you can learn more about that. You know, if you go to powerpearlspodcast.com/coaching, you can just explore that and check it out. So let's go, you guys. All right. So we're going to get into these 10 tips, or the 10 mistakes that new designers make, and how you can avoid them. Okay. And you can use this as like a checklist. Like I said earlier, this is going to be the freebie. So this is a version of the freebie, so that you have it in a checklist form. And I'll share how you can get that at the end of this episode. Okay. So number one is to tell your story. Okay. Now that might seem really basic and, maybe like an odd number one thing in the designing process, but actually not at all. Because like I said, just a few moments ago, Sue, it's your voice. What is it that you bring to the table? What is your vision behind that design? Pitch your idea to the editor, you know, sell that person, the editor, the yarn company, because it's what you, what the story is. Is there history? Is there a culture behind it? Someone that does this really, really well, you guys know her. She goes by the name of Frenchie, Françoise Denois, who has been on this podcast before. And she's also one of my personal coaching clients. And she does an amazing job at bringing her Maori culture into her design work. So if you're unfamiliar, you're not familiar with Frenchie, you can go to arohaknits.com and check out what she's up to. But I'm sure that a lot of you guys have heard of her. Okay, so that's number one. So it's really about sharing that vision, telling that story, and letting painting that picture for the editor to get them inspired, you know, instead of saying blue sweater, you know, or funky floral design or whatever it is. I mean, I know sometimes it's hard, but you really need to deliver the full package, and it starts with your storyline, okay? So number two is to clearly illustrate your idea through a sketch or a photo. And I know that maybe some of you are cringing right now. Oh my gosh, really? I have to sketch? I'm not really good at drawing. You don't have to be a pro you know, drafts person. But I think that if you want to get into the world of designing, especially if you want to work with others in the industry, magazines, use that as part of your bigger picture, right? Because I think that magazines and working with your own companies have a place in the facet of your mission. If you want to go up the designing path, it should not be the only thing you do. It should be part of a bigger picture. And so you can get templates. There are books that you can actually trace templates. So you don't have to do it all freehand. I mean, you can definitely use resources that are out there. If you have created a design already that has never been published and you want to pitch it to a magazine, well, you could take a photo of your design and send that. That's pretty straightforward because that's an acceptable practice and magazines love that because, you know, if it's something that you want to see in the magazine, but, you know, pitch to the magazine and it's finished, it's pretty obvious, like, oh, there it is. and then also another idea, you got to be careful with this idea that I'm going to mention next, is to use what's out there. So for example, ready to wear, you can go to Pinterest and see designs from a variety of ready-to-wear. What I mean by ready-to-wear, I don't know if you guys know what that term is because I used to work in the garment center in New York, so I know ready-to-wear. But basically, it's, you know, a shirt like this or something that you, like a knit, a t-shirt or a woven fabric, right, that you buy at the mall, right, in a shop in the mall, ready-to-wear. And you can use those ideas. Let's say you want to design a tunic that has an asymmetrical bottom and it does whatever. You can use that as an example where you copy and paste in a document, a PDF, send to the editor, yarn company, or designer, indie designer that you happen to be working with. And you say, I want this, this hem, and it's going to be symmetrical like this, or, you know, I want this kind of armhole, and I'd like to use this stitch pattern, and then provide the swatch, of course, your own swatch. So those are examples because that really does help. But you got to be careful, and, you know, be careful. You're not replicating. You're not taking anyone else's ideas at all. You're just pulling elements together. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, so we're going to move along. So stating the design skill level. That seems kind of simple, right? Like going back to what we were saying before. Simple yet very, very easy to overlook, right? Very, very easy to overlook. Because when you're designing something on paper, you're swatching, but you haven't really worked out the full design. But you really do need to be thinking ahead, right? Think and design with the end in mind. Have you ever heard that phrase in general? Think with the end in mind. Same thing here. Because most magazines, so just you, from my perspective as an editor of a magazine, former editor, most magazines do look for designs that are easy. Now, I don't mean not necessarily easy skill level, although yes, that's true too. That's great. But easy to understand, if that makes more sense. Like, so marketable for a knitting pattern, an easy to read and understand knitting pattern, even if it's an intermediate pattern. Because sometimes you may have a vision and you're just focused on the sketch and the swatch, but you're forgetting the end. So always work from the end and go back and be sure that you know what the skill level is and that you are ready to, you know, deliver. I was going to say deliver your promise, and that's going to be another step. But always state that skill level because that really is an important, and you should have that ahead of time. And make sure that when you, if your design is chosen, that you stick to that original, that original skill level. Okay, so number four. So I'm looking at my list because I don't want to lose track. I can't keep those numbers in my head if I do it from my brain, even though I do love to just kind of go off the cuff. So don't list yarn as generic. So I'm going to talk a little bit about yarn. The next couple of steps are all about your yarn, okay? Don't list your yarn as generic, okay? Be specific. And so instead of saying DK weight merino, that's great, but like all those, like there's many different kinds of merino yarns, DK weight yarns, and they drape differently. You know, there's, it's not an exact science or an exact thing, you know, where you say this yarn will drape like that yarn if you make that the sweater with it. No, that's not the case. And you need to give more direction, especially if it's a yarn that, you know, maybe the editor is not familiar with, or, you know, if it's a yarn company, that's a whole different story talking about yarn, because they're going to ask you to create something in their yarn, right? So you'll all, that's kind of, that's a step that is already worked out for you. But if you're working with a designer to contribute to their indie collection or a publisher, then really be mindful of that and really help along, because if you can deliver the package, the complete package, it's just going to be easier for someone to say, man, this designer really has their act together. And then moving on to number five is to know your yarn. Okay, so know your yarn. What is new? What is hot? You know, make sure that you do your research and that you actually know what yarns are trending. And so with magazines, magazines work 8 to 10 months ahead before or ahead of time. Before the issue goes live. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but you know, we're thinking about the next year's season, right? And so we need to know that if there's the yarns that an editor is looking at, that they're going to be around next year. Because if it takes about 8 months for a magazine to go through production, and then by the time it hits the newsstand, and it's on the newsstand for, let's say, 9 to 11 weeks, most magazines, that means that yarn needs to be available through those 9 to 11 weeks as well. So that's why it's good to think a year out. So if you're doing your research and you're understanding what's hot, what's new, do your research and talk to the yarn companies. Don't be afraid. You know, they're people just like you. Don't be scared. I have to say, that if you guys like to follow me and listen to what I have to say and you think I'm a nice person, well, trust me, all these people are really nice people too. The yarn makers, manufacturers, other designers, you know, I love the community and I consider all these people, they're great relationships, but I consider a lot of them my friends as well, because, you know, don't be afraid. That's all I'm saying is just don't be afraid to reach out, introduce yourself, and then, you know, just open that door and take those steps to find out about their yarns, ask those questions, and know what's going to be around. If you have a yarn in your stash and you purchased it at your local yarn shop and it's, you know, I don't know, Barocco, I don't know why, it just came off the top of my head. I love working with Barocco. And, you know, find out about that yarn. Is it a yarn that's going to be around? So for example, a lot of the times magazines use, and this could be a whole podcast episode in itself, you guys, just to talk about yarn. They'll use legacy yarns. Okay. A lot of them call them, the reason why they call them legacy yarns is because that means they're going to stick around. They're not going anywhere. They're not novelty yarns. A good example of that is, so if you're familiar with Barocco, they have a family of yarns called vintage. So vintage worsted, they have a DK and a bulky weight. So those yarns, I think chunky, it's vintage chunky is what it's called. And those are always in the collection, always in the Barocco collection. They're not going to go away. Maybe some of the colors will change up, but you can be sure that if you pick a vintage yarn, it'll be around. Those are really safe yarns to use, and they're widely used by a lot of knitters. Okay, so that was number five, know your yarn. Number six is provide swatches. You know, provide multiple swatches, especially if you have special arm shaping that you're going to use in the final design, your necklines, your bust, you know, maybe there's even bust shaping. But make sure that your swatches are, create a miniature sample of, like, let's say, an arm, you know, an armhole, or the way that, let's say you're creating a raglan pullover, you could do a miniature version of that. editors love that because it's right there. And you're showing that you have really thought through every little step. So that means a lot. And then taking it a step further, this is not really another, this is part, I'm just mentioning this sort of in addition to this step. But just be prepared that, because magazines ask for schematics if you're designing a garment. So be prepared, if not already a step ahead of the game, and always create one size. So show those pertinent areas of a design, a schematic, I should say, and how to, and maybe that's another podcast episode for you guys, but provide those important measurements for the editor, because then they will be like, all right, yeah, they get it. They understand construction. Because, you know, now you're going to garment construction in addition to designing knitwear. So that's a twofold process when you think about it. Okay, number seven, we're moving along. Follow the designer guidelines. That's a big one for magazines and for indie designers, yarn companies. They also have designer guidelines as well. Follow the guidelines and the style before submitting to them, because for magazines, if you go to their websites, you'll see guidelines, designer guidelines. There's always a link for them. You can find their editorial calendar. You can get the guidelines, abbreviations list. And if they don't have it, you know what you do? The most obvious is pick up the magazine and start looking through an issue of, hello, Creative Knitting. This is actually, I'm still in this issue, by the way, you guys. It's so weird that even though I'm no longer with the magazine as an employee, I am still the editor through the winter issue, which is crazy pants. But anyway, this is the summer issue of Creative Knitting. And all you got to do is just, you know, turn to, you know, any magazine and take a look. Oh, it's funny. I just turned to one of my designs. This is one of my designs. Simple little design. But anyway, so you turn to a design page and you take a look at the materials list. How is that laid out? You take a look at the style. How is the pattern written? What are the abbreviations in the magazine? And then also, if you go to the back of the magazine, and this is usually for most magazines, you can take a look at the section where they do have skill levels and standard abbreviations, as Creative Knitting always does. So there are the standard abbreviations and the skill levels. So you can get a feel for what those are for that particular publication when you're writing your pattern. Because Creative Knitting, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, I decided to increase the skill levels and bump them up to 6 instead of just 4. The Craft Yarn Council has 4. So we bumped it up to 6 because I wanted to open up the playing field, and I didn't want knitters to feel like they were kind of put into a beginner, easy, intermediate, or experienced box, because some forms of knitting in the round are easy, like making a hat, where others are more complicated. And so there's a level for moderately challenging, in between intermediate and challenging. So stuff like that. So really just pick up a magazine that you're interested in and start studying like crazy what they're all about. And then let's move on to number 8. Okay. So deliver what you promise. If you suggest a garment, be ready to write your pattern in multiple sizes. Okay. That's a big one. That's a big one right there, because I've seen this before. Just again, in my experience, beautiful presentation, beautiful swatches, even fully fashioned. But when it comes down to taking that design from one size, and maybe it's your size, because that's how most of us design. That's how I design. Take something from your size and either size it up, however many sizes, and down, depending. So, for example, Creative Knitting requires at least 3 to 4 sizes. I think at least 3 sizes. But really, I used to ask for 5 to 6 for it to cover the plus sizing as well. But not all designs are good for plus size. Okay, that's something to think about too. When you look at, when you're creating your design, it doesn't always have to fit a plus size model, because maybe if you're thinking about garment and drape and that sort of thing, and it would not appeal to a plus size person, like if they were to make it in that size, and if you felt as if it wouldn't end up looking, draping as nicely, then, you know, they wouldn't be happy. So, you know, thinking ahead for them is a kind thing to do, right? So to really be aware and mindful of different body shapes. So let's see. So number nine is, we're almost there, you guys. And then I will take some questions, see what you guys are up to in the comments. So number nine is, don't send a proposal in the body of your email. Okay. That's another, you know, on this top 10 list, because editors are busy, and what'll happen sometimes is a designer will send it to the editor in their email and not send it to the email that's specified on the website or in the guidelines. And that's pretty important. If it goes to the editor's inbox, sometimes it gets lost. And especially if it is, you've sent a proposal and details about your design in the body of an email, and also it includes attachments, it's just PC and clunky for an editor. And I'll get to the next one, because it's number 10 is to, so number nine was don't send your proposal. And number 10 is do create a 1 to 2 page PDF of your design containing all the components into one document, because then the photo of your swatch is there, your skill level, your story, you know, the name of your design, the yarn that you suggest, maybe even the needle size. Maybe you think, hey, you know what, this really should be made with a bamboo needle or something. I don't know. Cause you know, some yarns are more slippery than others. I mean, that's always something that you can add. It just shows that you've done your homework. So those are the 10. So I hope that those helped, you know, turn on some light bulbs, some switches in your brain. And I'm going to also share really, really quickly some bonus pro tips for you guys. Are you ready for those? Okay. So here, there's three of them. So the bonus pro tip number one is, provide the editor or your client links to where your work lives. Okay. You know, this is your calling card. So for example, many of us have the Instagram thing going, right? So send them to your Instagram feed, because that's like a portfolio in itself. Oh my gosh, you guys, we have such an opportunity nowadays. When I was a new designer and I had my first design published in 2002. So just to give you that kind of perspective, there was no Instagram, right? We know that. And it was, it was a different world. And I had a hard copy portfolio, like that I would show, you know, at shows and, you know, try to send emails, but they were clunky. We have the luxury of having Instagram and Pinterest and Ravelry. So really take advantage of this technology. We are so lucky to have it, and use it like it's your calling card. Okay. Use it if this is the direction that you want to go in. The number two bonus tip is, create your own media press kit. Now you guys, you can do this on your website. You can do this on your website pretty easily. It's a place where you can talk about your history, your body of work, photos that people can right click and download. Let's say for whatever reason you have a design up there, or you're going to be on, here you go. This is why, you know, you'd want someone. Let's say you want to be on a podcast, on Power Pearls podcast. It's so easy. And I love some designers have done this. They say, here's the link to my press kit. And I go there and I can download the image of their headshot. I can download their logo. I can download their bio. Everything's right there. That's it. They don't have to send me a single email. They just sent me a link. Something to think about. Little pro tip, you know, a little more advanced. Like I said, a pro tip. So let's see. Number three pro tip is, include a contact info. See, this is like probably should have been in the other 10, but I thought of it later. But it's so simple. This is so simple, but it can be forgotten. Always include your contact information on every page of your proposal. And why is that? because especially with magazines and yarn companies alike, depends on how many submissions they get in. But you know, pages aren't stapled usually because things are mixed and matched and moved around, especially with a magazine, because you're laying things out to develop an issue of a magazine. So that page, that random page, could be, get lost and added to another portion of the, you know, under the pile. And then there's no information on it. And the editor might be like, what is this beautiful design? There's nothing. There's no name. And to go back into the sea of emails will be difficult because there won't be time to find it. And, you know, so that's a really important reason. And also, the editor is not always the person handling the submission. It's usually an assistant that's organizing everything. So be mindful of that and always put your contact information on every page of your proposal. So that's it, you guys. So I hope you enjoyed that. And I'm going to pop on over into your comments here to just see what kind of comments or questions that have come in. So Troy says, I noticed there isn't as much knitting patterns for men than there are for women and children. Will Creative Knitting Magazine have more patterns for men in the upcoming issues? You know, that's going to be something, Troy, that I don't have control over right now because I'm no longer the editor of the magazine. But I will say this, and I feel bad saying this, but I think because a lot of the people that knit are women, and I know that most of us like to knit for ourselves. So obviously you want to knit for yourself and you want to knit things for, you know, for guys. But I'm going to give you a suggestion. Have you checked out Brooklyn Tweed? So I think if you just go to brooklyntweed.com, because the owner of the company is Jared Flood. And I'm telling you, his designs are amazing. And there are definitely designs for guys there. Very fashionable, very hip, very cool. So Troy, check out Brooklyn Tweed. Okay. Check it out. So you guys, that's it. So you can, here's how you can get a copy of the checklist. You guys ready? So go to powerpearlspodcast.com/design mistakes. Okay. So it's powerpearlspodcast.com/design mistakes to get your copy of this free guide. So then you can use it like it's a checklist when you're ready to start designing, you know, working with yarn companies, or see what you can garner out of this for your own, you know, just on your own, how to be more professional in general. These are just really great guidelines. And check out Power Pearls on Patreon, you guys. You know, just support the show at, you know, whatever level feels good to you. If you can find out more by going to powerpearlspodcast.com/community. You can support the show at whatever dollar amount feels good to you. And let's just keep the Power Pearls garden growing together, you guys. All right. So that's it. I mean, this is awesome. And I am so happy that you guys have decided to join me today. And yeah, I will just see you next week. All right, you guys. So have a good one.